Call That Radio.
It's your Call That Radio. It's season 4, it's episode 13. And today we're doing something a little bit different. You know, I've been on a good run of a new podcast every Sunday, and there wasn't one this Sunday because of me. I take full responsibility because I had toothache. Do you like the way I take full responsibility but blame toothache, which isn't my fault? Maybe if I took better care of my left molar, or whatever the fuck it is. But yeah, it's been a tough week for me in the pain department. So there is no new interview, and the interview that I should have had as a replacement was going to be an interview with Republica, Saffron from Republica, but this is quite embarrassing. I had everything set up, and then StreamYard broke for the first time. And I've been using StreamYard for about 500 shows. It's never broke before. And there I am, speaking to the iconic Saffron of Republica and Enjoy before that. And it wasn't working. It just didn't work. I tried to hurriedly do a backup plan on Skype, but I couldn't hear her. Unfortunately, she could hear me. And our agent phoned me to say, she can hear you, by the way. And I spent about 10 minutes swearing at the technology. I was going, for fuck's sake, you know, making noises like that as I was trying to get things working. So I'm absolutely mortified today because this only happened last night. And hopefully we're rescheduling. Apparently we're rescheduling, but I would understand if she never wants to speak to me again. Hopefully she sees the funny side. If you're listening, Saffron, I'm a massive fan. And I'm very embarrassed that A, the technology didn't work, B, the backup plan didn't work, and C, you had to hear me swear at my computer for 10 minutes. So hopefully we can reschedule that for the future. So as a result, between the toothache and that tech fail last night, I've not got a new show for you. But what I thought I'd do is something completely different. This is the news, which is a thing I do on You Call That Radio's YouTube channel, which is basically the novel concept of reacting to news and talking about things that are happening. Sometimes music, sometimes pop culture, sometimes politics, depends on what's going on. So I thought I'd just join together a bunch of things that's happened in the last week. And if you enjoy it, let me know. If you don't like it, let me know. And I'll never do it again. If you do like it, we'll maybe do it again sometime. If you really like it, maybe I'll make a separate podcast for the news stuff, and we'll just keep You Call That Radio for the interviews. But today, what's been in the news? Well, it's the 29th of August. I haven't had a painkiller today, so I'm feeling good about that, because I've been on the painkillers for about 5 days now. So I've got a festival tomorrow, Lindisfarne. We're playing at 3:30 at the Dingle Dell tent. There's no point in telling you, because he's either already there or he's can't go because it's sold out. And you're listening to this in the future, and the event's already been. But it's the 29th of August. Right now, everyone's excited about the Oasis reunion. Half the people are excited, half of the people are raging because they don't like Oasis. So we're going to start off by going for a wee 10-minute chat about Oasis, and then we'll go further back in time and talk 10 minutes of me talking about are supplements real, and I'll also talk about toothache remedies and hangover cures. That'll last about 10 minutes. And then we'll go back to the week before where we were talking about Ray Gunn, the Australian breakdancer conspiracy. That seems like ages ago now, but it was literally a week ago. And on top of that, we had, what else happened? There was Liz Truss. Liz Truss storms off stage due to a lettuce. So we'll do about 10 minutes of Liz Truss. We'll bam up Liz Truss for 10 minutes, and then if there's time, and yous are enjoying it, I'll see how the vibe's going, then I'll maybe put a wee extra bit with my thoughts on the UK riots, although I should probably be keeping it a little bit more upbeat, so maybe I will only do that. We'll find out. Let's just see how the show goes. You're tuned in to You Call That Radio. It's only possible because of you, the patron. So if you are a patron, thank you for supporting the show. If you're not, but you think, you know, between all the events we do, the audio podcast, the YouTube channel, then you think it's worth £3 a month, then you can sign up at patreon.com/youcallthatradio. That'll be the last advert. We don't have adverts, we don't have sponsors, and we don't have funding. It's powered purely by the Patreon. So thank you if you're supporting, and I hope you enjoy the show today. This is the news. It's August the 29th. You it's official. Oasis have announced a reunion tour, summer gigs next year. Half the internet is excited. The other half of the internet is raging at people being excited. You call that radio? 3, 2, 1. This is the news. Oasis have reunited for the first time in 15 years. They are confirmed they're playing Cardiff, Manchester, London, Edinburgh and Dublin. And 15 years of slagging each other is over. Well, maybe not. I still expect them to slag each other. There's a chance that they could fall out on stage. There's a chance that these gigs might not even happen. But people are excited because Oasis were the biggest band in the world. Now, I think it was actually the guy from KOF, but it's just science in general. The most important music is the music that you listen to between the ages of 14 and 18. It's as you're growing up, it's when you're, you know, when you're getting your first kiss, it's when you're getting your first swally with your pals. It's just feeling like an adult and going to gigs for the first time. And as a young person who went to see Oasis at Glasgow Green, it was life-changing. It genuinely was. It was amazing. And I was just the right age. I understand people that were too old for it. You know, there's some people that were a bit old and they said, you know, Oasis are ripping off the Beatles or the... You know, there's lots of videos about Oasis stealing songs from other places. It didn't matter. We were too young to know any of these songs. The swagger they had, the fact that it was a working class voices on the television, every scheme in the UK had Oasis on full bung. I know that there's a lot of music snobbery as well, so you might be too old, you might be too young, or you might be a music snob. That can also be the case. But if you were the right age and you lived in a scheme, Oasis were everywhere. And they were important. Definitely Maybe was perfect. Before that, we weren't really listening to anything like that. Guitars weren't really a thing in my life. I mean, obviously, I was lucky I had parents that were into things like the Beatles, Dire Straits, The Doors, Jimi Hendrix, all the classics. But that was their music. I mean, you start getting to about the age of 10, 11, 12, you want your own music. And we did have things like Ultrasonic, but in general, we were just listening to pop music or dance music without any guitars. So when Oasis came out, it encouraged everyone to pick up the guitar. Even my bro. He can play Half the World Away. It takes him about 10 minutes to do the chord changes. But it made him pick up the guitar. It made everyone pick up the guitar. In fact, that's maybe why people hate Oasis so much, because a lot of bands came in and absolutely ripped off Oasis and stole their ideas. But they stole their ideas as well. But there was something that felt genuine about the swagger, the banter, them being on stage, them sticking their fingers up at journalists, them taking the piss out of interviewers, getting flung off boats and arrested, and it felt like rock and roll. And, you know, that might not seem cool anymore to middle-aged people, but when you're away, and that was amazing. And even to this day, Liam Gallagher on Twitter's still funny. Noel's went a wee bit a different way, but to have them both on stage at the same time is going to be a nostalgia trip for millions of people. Millions of people want tickets. There's people that don't go to any gigs apart from Oasis and Ocean Colosseum. They live in small towns. Friends of mine, they don't get out much, but they'll come out for Oasis and maybe Ocean Colosseum or something along those lines. So they're going to be excited. I've seen people saying that the picture might be photoshopped. This picture here. people were expecting a press conference or something. Well, they did say there was going to be a press conference. I heard that somewhere, but that was just fucking probably the Sun or something. So, apparently it's a real, the real photos, there's more photos. They were together. It's, some people complaining about the poster and stuff. None of that matters, man. Liam Gallagher could have scribbled down the dates that they were playing on a sheet of paper and uploaded a photo with a link to Ticketmaster and it would still sell it. They don't need to promote this. They don't need to do a press conference. Is it not more exciting that they don't do a press conference and we have to wait to the first night that they play to see them on stage together? Will they give each other a hug or will they be at the opposite ends of the stage raging each other? Is it a money grab? I don't think they need the money. You know, I've seen people saying it's the divorce settlement's over or some shit. I don't. Oasis are very, very wealthy. Liam and Noah, anyway. They're very, very wealthy. They don't need the money. But it's rumoured that they will take away £50 million each for these gigs. And they've hinted that this is just the start of more gigs. Will there be more new music? Doubt it. I don't think they'll do any more new music. But I could be wrong. Maybe they just hit it off and they start making tunes again. But I wouldn't expect new music. I would expect them to see how their gigs go. And if it goes well, then maybe go to Europe and America. But they're not doing it for the money. The other complaint I've seen is people saying they've not even announced the exact lineup. Nobody cares. Nobody actually cares. It would be good to see Bonehead back. It would be good to see Giggsy back. But then you've got Jem, Andy Bell. What do you... You can't have all of them on stage, can you? Maybe you could. But you're trying to tell me, don't tell lies. You're not going to go because Giggsy's not there. You're somebody that isn't going to go anyway. People want to see Noel Gallagher and Liam Gallagher on the same stage playing the classics. That's all they care about. And all you music snobs, we get it. You don't like Oasis. That's okay. But let people enjoy things. I don't think Oasis get enough credit because it's not cool to admit that you like Oasis. But as my friend Victoria McNulty, the poet, says, it's not a house party until Don't Look Back in Anger comes out the stereo. You know what I mean? And I can agree with that to a certain degree. It depends what kind of party you're at, I suppose. But the music snobs, what they fail to realise is that a lot of their favourite bands were inspired by Oasis. They just don't talk about it much. So by listening to Oasis, I started reading the NME. And that's why I started getting into bands like Mercuryev, who I interviewed on this show recently, that you can check on the YouTube channel. I go into the Beta Band, who have nothing to do with Oasis. They probably didn't like Oasis at all at the time. I got into the Flaming Lips and just lots of other little bands that appeared because I was reading, I started getting interested in guitar music because of Oasis. I started reading the NME, the Melody Maker. I started, you know, there was just Britpop exploded and there was some bands were shite, some bands were good. Some bands are still around to this very day. It was just an exciting time. We just got rid of the Tories. There was hope in the air. We didn't know that it was going to go bad with that. We didn't know that, yeah. It felt like anything was possible. And that's maybe just the naivety of young age. But, I mean, whether I would go, I don't know. I don't know if I would go. I seen them in their prime. And, but, you know, now that I'm seeing the dates, maybe. I'd quite like to see it. And are you gonna say, oh well, I don't know fuck all about music because I'd like to maybe see that? I didn't think I was bothered. I heard a few weeks ago that this was happening. Fred Wayne is a roadie and he said that they'd already booked the crew for next year. And I didn't say anything because I didn't know if it was true, and also I didn't want to I wanted to respect the secret. And it's actually been one of the biggest secrets kept in the music industry. Because even last night, people were going, is this actually happening? People have been talking about this for weeks. So if I knew about it weeks ago, then probably months. It's been the back burner. And Noel Gallagher gave Liam a shout out a couple of weeks ago. They've been teasing it for a while now. So, I mean, I don't know if I can afford the ticket. I don't know if I'll get a ticket. I doubt I'll be able to get a press pass. That'll be all the other guys that'll get that. But it's actually I'm enjoying everyone getting excited about it. I think it's good. The young team who love Oasis that have been going to watch Liam Gallagher and Noel Gallagher, they'll be buzzing in the same way that I was buzzing when the Stone Roses reformed, because I never thought in a million years I would get to see the Stone Roses live. So they're probably buzzing right now. But I did get to see Oasis live, so I did see them in their prime. So I was like, I don't think I'll be that bored about it. But now seeing everyone talking about it and telling all their stories, I don't know, I'm starting to tap in to the younger version of me who would actually quite like to see it. And I know lots of people that watch You Call That Radio or listen to our audio podcast will be like, Oasis are shite. I know that people will say that. Maybe, just maybe, it will encourage more people to pick up the guitar. You know? And unfortunately, we only remember the shite bands that ripped off Oasis exactly. But there was millions of great artists that came out of that, where they listened to Oasis's inspirations, they listened to the support bands, they listened to the other guitar bands that came out of this movement. They learned to play their instruments, and they got into little obscure bands, and then when the journalists asked what band you're into, they don't say Oasis. They say something cooler. And the reason it's not cool like Oasis is because they became so mainstream. They were everywhere. So if you didn't like them, it would have been really annoying. And this isn't about the internet. You know, I've never even heard a Justin Bieber song in my life. I've never heard a Taylor Swift song in my life, because we have internet now. But back then, it was just the charts. It was everywhere. It was the radio, the telly. Everything was just the chart music. So I understand if you didn't like Oasis, you would have hated it because it was just everywhere. But I liked Oasis. Definitely was a classic. What's the Story, Morning Glory? It was great. Be Here Now, slightly overhyped, but the hype was real. I remember being excited about it. The Master Plan had some amazing B-sides, and then it all started kind of falling apart a little bit. But 15 years is a long time, so people are excited. 15 years means that there's 15-year-olds who were not even born when Oasis split up that have been listening to their parents' music all their life. They can now finally go to a gig. Aye, it's a good thing. Let's get the young'uns picking up guitars again. But, yeah, don't try and sound like Oasis, please. We've had enough of that. In fact, we're quite glad to see that's stopped, mostly. Not in certain towns. In certain towns, they still sound like Oasis to this day. But, yeah, pick up the guitar, but don't try and rip off Oasis note for note. Please. In summary, let people enjoy things. Just let them enjoy things. What's the big issue? If you don't like Oasis, you don't need to jump in a comment thread and say, I fucking hate Oasis. What's the point in that? So what do you think? Leave a comment. Are you excited about Oasis coming back? And if you hate Oasis, I don't mind it. You can just say, I know I said, don't leave a comment if you hate Oasis. But for this one time, get all your hatred out in the comments here. Because likes, comments and subscriptions helps push the channel. But get all your hate out in the comments and then just stop saying that you hate Oasis. And let people enjoy things. And let us know. Are you going to get a ticket? Where would you go? Would you go to Cardiff? I mean, Manchester's where you want to be, I suppose, isn't it? And I'm sure there'll be people moaning that there's no Glasgow date. But Glasgow gets all the good bands. Edinburgh needs this more than Glasgow. Because apart from, what's in August though? Fuck's sake, it's in August. So like, the only month where anything happens in Edinburgh Oasis are going to do a couple of nights there. That's the door. That's the door. In a bit fashion. Leave a comment. This is the news. Bye. You call that radio. This is the news, and today I speak to you as a man with very bad toothache. We're going to be talking about supplements and painkillers. And as you may have noticed, I'm doing this show in a room that is completely green lights. Now, the reason I'm doing that is because green lights go into your eyes, the retina in your eyes, and what it does is it kickstarts the enzymes and the blood cells that activates the good bacteria. I'm making this up. But that's the question. All these supplements, they're all supposed to be good for you. But are they all just fake?
You call that radio. 3, 2, 1.
Now, as you can see behind me, we've got a box full of supplements and painkillers. Now, the thing that's always confused me about supplements and vitamins and stuff like that is it says only take part of a healthy diet and exercise regime. But surely if you're eating well and keeping fit, then what exactly would be the point in having a health supplement? Surely we need to hoard and ration these magic beans for the sick, the elderly, and the lazy. Now, would any of it work without the diet and exercise? So what's the point in any of it? As someone who's at the, you could say, the early stages of my fitness journey, I feel we should ban the sale of multivitamins to anyone who seems to be doing all right. At least until we investigate whether the things even work. I know so many people that are on the zinc. But you on the zinc? Alright, pal, you want a lion's mane? Some of yous might even be vibing with the milk thistle. And if it sounds like I don't know what I'm talking about, it's because I don't. I don't have a clue what I'm talking about. And I don't think anyone has a clue what they're talking about. Half the internet says what pill X is good for you. Another half says it causes spontaneous combustion. So I'm reckoning that the truth must be somewhere in the middle. Near the middle where it does basically fuck all. It's really hard to prove a negative, so like you've got, there's a joke that Dr. John Cooper Clarke said about the Green Chill advert, and he says, without the Green Chill anti-drugs advert, maybe things would be far, far worse. It's hard to prove the negative, but maybe things would be far worse if you didn't swallow a garlic pill that's imported from China. Garlic that grows wildly in the country that we live in, maybe even your street, maybe even your garden. The main thing that kind of started this rant is that it says, check with a medical professional before you take any. Now, I don't know if you've actually tried to speak to a medical professional since 2020, but there's a bit of a backlog. They seem a bit busy to have appointments anymore. And the receptionists are fairly grumpy in this city. Can you imagine the scenes where you phone up a grumpy Glasgow doctor surgery receptionist in the year 2024 as the NHS teeters on the brink of complete collapse and demand a face-to-face appointment, and she's just like, what's wrong with you? And you say, I just want to know if it's okay to mix ginkgo biloba with the occasional sip of Gaviscon. Never read the small print or the side effects or the instant side effect will make you a paranoid wreck. Because every antidepressant I've ever seen on the side that says may cause depression. Every pill that cures bloating may cause bloating. Every anti-migraine medication says may cause migraines. So, I did a post saying something along those lines just the other day on the Facebook. And I got some interesting feedback for people saying that in Scotland, especially because we don't get much sunlight, you need the vitamin D. Or is it, I think it's a vitamin D, maybe. Double check all this stuff I'm saying, by the way. I'm not a medical professional. So double check that. But I did listen to a podcast about it. And it was the ones that interest me was because, so I take cod liver oil. And there's actually some science, but all the science is based on rats. And that sometimes works for humans, but not all the time. But there is some evidence that cod liver oil is good for your memory. So, and it doesn't seem to have any bad effects. So, the doctor was like, yeah, we don't know for sure, but he's taking it anyway. And I've heard a lot of doctors saying that. So I'm taking the cod liver oil, which is hopefully good for the memory. If you take that, then when you get older, that's a good thing. I also hear that milk thistle is good for the liver. So I take milk thistle when I'm drinking, you know, maybe before or after I drink. And when I was in Mexico, there was a drink, it was called electrolytes, and different flavours of electrolytes. And when it's 34 degrees, you need to drink that. Nobody's really drinking anything else during the day because it's hot, you're dehydrated. So I was like, why don't you have electrolytes juice in here? But I noticed it was actually good for a hangover. So I thought, why don't we get these electrolyte juices over here? So I started Googling it and I realised that you could just get electrolyte powder and make your own one. And I'll tell you what, I've been having a little spoonful of electrolytes powder if I'm drinking before I go to sleep. Then I have electrolyte powder in the morning when I wake up. It does seem to help me. So that's milk thistle, cod liver oil, and I drink this kind of matcha fuel latte thing that got me off the... Oh, no, fuck that. So my hangovers are brutal. So it's kind of electrolytes, cod liver oil. Electrolytes, cod... I think electrolytes, cod liver oil, and milk thistle. And I feel better. But according to all the comments from people that are much smarter than me, they're saying that that's probably just a placebo effect. Then there was other people saying that electrolytes are actually really bad for you because they can actually do the opposite and dehydrate you. But that was just a friend on the internet. So I don't really know what to make of any of that. I suppose the main problem with science is that you get scientific results and people see different things into it. Like the multivitamin, for example, there is actually evidence that it's good for you, but there's also evidence that it gives you a very, very small risk of a heart attack. So you need to kind of do these things over like 40 years. So nobody's a clue, really. And then when you do get a good scientific report, a different scientist can look at the results and come to draw different conclusions. So some of the smartest people in the world are disagreeing with each other about this. But what it did say is that multivitamins and cod liver oil are actually not going to do you any harm, but they might not do anything at all. So maybe you're just wasting money. And my good friend Kenny, he says you'd be better off spending that money on good quality food and getting your nutrients from then. Sorry, I've got a really sore tooth as I'm trying to do this. I've been quite lucky. I don't really have... I've only ever had one major tooth issue before. And it's the same tooth. I got root canal treatment before. And that was rough because it went bad. And now that same one has came back. And I've kind of been feeling it coming for a while. Thankfully, Well, I don't know if it was thankfully. I felt it happening in Mexico and I was like, oh, please don't happen here. But considering the current state of the NHS, maybe it would have been better for it to happen over there. I don't know. I would have probably rather not went into a Mexican dentist. But I think all the US people go there because it's a lot cheaper. But the advice I got for a dentist, and she was a lovely woman, and she knows my name. She might have actually, she might watch this. But she gave me antibiotics. And I said, and what about the pain relief? What do you do for pain relief? What painkiller would you recommend for toothache? I wasn't trying to get any painkillers off her, because I've got painkillers. I was just trying to decide what is the best one, what is going to be best. But she said, you know, when it gets that sore, painkillers don't really do anything. So he'd maybe just suggest a paracetamol. And yeah, that was her medical advice. I did go for a second opinion. And someone who was qualified, and they prescribed me with strong cocodamol and ibuprofen, and you take them apart. Yeah. And I've tried a couple others, but it seems to be working quite well. But you've got to remember not to eat for 3 hours. I don't even know. It's just, the woman at the chemist, I was like, I heard clove oil was good, and she went, clove oil is shite. She's a brilliant woman. She tells you the best. She said clove oil is shite, but try this stuff. And it was like extra strength benzocaine, and it totally numbed my mouth. And it's a lifesaver. This is a short-term thing. I put on too much, and my whole mouth was just numb, which was what I needed at the time. And then she was trying to explain, take these pills then. And then she just interrupted herself because she just got confused and went, you're going to have a fucking hard time doing all of that. Right, I'm not my best. I'm actually quite sore. And yeah. I'm not my best. But you can like and subscribe and leave a comment if you want to tell me what you think about nutritional supplements. Nobody cares. Nobody gives a fuck, do they? Has anyone even made it to the end of this video? I've not made it. I've clocked it. What am I doing? This isn't supposed to be a music channel. Or this isn't music or news. It's more like investigative journalism. I hope you enjoyed the show. This is the news, and Liz Truss has stormed off stage because of a banner. She didn't find it very funny, and that's coming from one of the UK's greatest comedians of all time. Let's have a look at the banner, and then let's talk about Liz Truss, because some of you might not even know who Liz Truss is. She was actually Prime Minister, but only for a short time. I've been to parties that lasted longer than her reign. But let's have a look at what's happened here.
What I was saying a bit about incumbents, I think the average American is not doing well. And people do vote on, I think it was Bill Clinton's Biden said it's the economy stupid. So I think that
I like it. Who did it? Led by donkeys. Well done. Led by donkeys. It's satire. It's a bit daft. Slightly offensive. Just like the butt of the joke, Liz Truss. It's not like she got her ear shot off. It's just a bit of banter. She got bammed up. And it's good to see people getting bammed up again. She could have easily laughed it off rather than storming off stage. And I think that's where she goes wrong. She should lean into the unqualified fool who somehow fell up the way and became Prime Minister. You know, if the book was called something like, I know, I can't believe I was Prime Minister either, or isn't it silly that they let me destroy the economy, or I once got so drunk I was in charge of the United Kingdom. Stuff like that would be great, man. People would really, she could go on comedy panel shows and she could just be like, I know, I'm an absolute idiot. And they put me in charge. People would love her. She'd make a fortune that way. She'd definitely sell more than the, I think it's 2,000 books or something she sold to now. And she probably bought the books to make the numbers look better. If she just disappeared and enjoyed her Prime Minister's pension, everybody would have forgot about her by now. She could have just enjoyed the wealth. I'm sure she got a few backhanders from friends who knew she was going to tank the economy and bet against the pound, which is the Conservative way for the last 14 years. But instead of just disappearing and enjoying the money, she's trying to make money off a book filled with denials, lacking any self-awareness at all, and trying to paint herself as a victim of the woke left and the deep state, ignore these mad right-wing talk show things. And the thing is that she left lots of victims. There's loads of people whose rent went up, their mortgages went up, the pound crashed. She messed things up for a lot of people. So, and she's still trying to cash in it and make more money. So she's entitled to be bammed up. Well done, led by donkeys. This is the news on You Call That Radio. Like and subscribe if you want to see more of this kind of thing. Let's have a look at Liz Truss, because some people probably don't even know who Liz Truss is. You maybe were just at a party for a couple of weeks and you missed that she was Prime Minister. You might have been in a coma, a short coma. You could just not have been watching the news for a couple of weeks. Maybe you switched the news off after the Queen died and you couldn't be bothered with it anymore. And you don't actually know who she is. So let's just have a little look at Liz Truss and why I think that not only is she the worst Prime Minister ever, but there is probably a 5% chance that she might just be in character as a comedian. You know, sort of Alan Partridge meets Borat type character. Let's have a look at the evidence. So this was the lettuce. A lettuce with googly eyes on it and a picture of Liz Truss. It was the Daily Star. It was day one. Can Liz Truss outlast this lettuce? And the lettuce won. At this stage, I would consider Liz Truss a comedian. Now, I don't know if it's deliberate, I don't know if it's trolling. We don't think it's trolling. But if you just imagine that it's just a comedian putting on an act, then you've got one of the funniest comedians that the UK has ever produced. So, let's have a little look at some of Liz Truss's funniest moments. And if you don't know, Liz Truss crashed the economy really badly. Really, really badly.
The old Joe Biden. We import 2/3 of our cheese. That is a disgrace.
The Irish tea salt.
It's like when she does the wee smell after it. You know what I mean? It's the wee smell after it, like she did a good job.
The Irish tea sock.
We will be taking into account our high standards to make sure our farmers are undermined.
In December, I'll be in Beijing, opening up new pork markets.
Thanks to our new rigorous national curriculum, children will be learning about where food comes from and the proper names of trees and animals.
I'm really struggling with this one. I'm sorry about that.
Yes, well,
I don't know the answer to that.
That sweet-looking creature is a possum.
I was at HMP Pentonville last week. They've now got patrol dogs who are barking, which helps deter drones.
You had a plan in 2014 to build 200...
So I think what that's referring to is that there was actually... Like, people are sneaking drugs in to prison through drones. Like, the drone comes in and drops off the drugs. I don't think a barking dog is going to deter a criminal mastermind with access to drones who's trying to sneak illegal drugs into prison. Like, also, Liz Truss wasn't well known. It was just a person that some shadowy economic people, they thought, she's a useful idiot. Let's put her in charge. Let's vote for her. And she'll do exactly what we say. And they people probably made a lot of money because they bet on the pound crashing. What they got now is a Conservatives in power who actually want to destroy the pound so that them and their pals can bet that the pound is going to crash. So, anyway, it's okay to laugh at Liz Truss. You know, whether she is some kind of Borat type thing, but this is her touring her new book, which isn't selling very well. It's not selling many at all, but she's kind of going on the right wing grifter pipeline, talking about the deep state, trying to cozy up to Donald Trump. And this is some of the best bits of Liz Truss touring her book.
In the same way as they sort of say, you know, government was trying to abolish the forests, or they're trying to do this. They're trying to smear me with economic results that are clearly not, I'm clearly not responsible for.
A lot of people I've spoken to since say, Liz, why didn't you stick to your gun? I'm not embarrassed. I'm definitely frustrated that I feel we've missed an opportunity to deliver those policies. Am I proud to have got there? I'm proud that when I got there, I did actually get rid of a tax.
Basically, abandoned your economic strategy after a written warning from Simon Case, the cabinet secretary, that unless you did so, the economy would melt down. Now, can you...
It's not the economy would melt down, just to be clear. It's that we would no longer be able to fund government debt.
Okay, after COVID, but I remember getting him to sign off the start of the American trade deal while he was still in hospital recovering after COVID. Because his advisors weren't there.
You were bugging him in hospital.
I know, it's quite bad, isn't it? But I was determined to... what I'm saying in is I was determined to get things done.
What I experienced at number 10 was...
No, I know there's a lot of conspiracy theories that Boris either, you know, some people say he nearly died... Some people say he didn't even have COVID. It was a publicity stunt. But let's just say, for argument's sake, she's telling the truth here. You're on potentially your deathbed as Prime Minister, and Liz Truss appears. Sign my form. I want to get things done.
There was,
I believe, the last ever photograph of the Queen, and that was on the 6th of September. I remember seeing the photograph, thinking that she did look very, very weak.
Mm.
Very, very weak indeed. But I still...
And then Liz Truss comes in, probably after having a big party to celebrate becoming Prime Minister, getting full of the champagne, full of the ching, and then potentially gave the Queen COVID. And that's maybe what killed the Queen. She's a comedian. She's a joke. She killed the economy. She killed the pound, she probably killed the Queen, and now she storms off stage if she sees a lettuce. Liz Truss is a joke, the politics in this country is a joke, and this is the news.
You call that radio.
This is the news on You Call That Radio. Now, we like to cover the news, but primarily we're a music channel, and we like to cover music, and one of my favourite types of music is rap music, hip-hop. I would consider myself an expert in the music side of things, not so much in the dancing side of things, but I feel like we had to cover this, and I know a lot of people have covered it already, but we've got new information, secret information, and we're going to be looking at some of the conspiracy theories that have resulted around Ray Gunn, the Australian performer.
I need to stop. Stop trying to pull me into it, man. At first, when she came out, I thought it was she looked like a golfer.
She gave it her best, but that's not really what the Olympics is about. I mean, I could do my kind of Stone Roses Fool's Gold dance, you know, my Bad Bez impression. I could do something like that and still get the same amount of points as Australia. Zero. Zero. But the point of this video is not to bring down Ray Gunn or any competitors, but it's just to ask the broader question about why she even got there. What was there a reason behind the performance? And how is this media spotlight going to affect the culture of breaking going forward? So we're just going to look at a few things. Was it a joke? Was it a protest? Was it a conspiracy? Is there privilege involved? Was her husband a judge? Is the media reaction just sexism? Can we even call this breaking? And what is the lasting legacy? I'm not an expert in dancing, as you can see. So I've got some experts. We've got Shel Tomel. Since I'm talking about breaking, I thought I would go to the expert. I'm with Shel Tomel right now. Thank you, Shel Tomel, for joining us on your Call That Radio. This is the news. So can we just start with just a brief background of how long you've been breaking for and what your experience is first?
Where I was from, there was no classes or anything, and there was no internet back then. So you just learned through video. So the only way that I could learn, I sort of got into it, that would have been early 90s, probably.
And Chaz Bonner.
But I do just want to take a moment to address the Ray Gunn situation.
Who are B-boy and B-girl legends over here in Scotland. So first up, was it a joke? Now, I love a conspiracy theory, but I also hate fake news. So I'll just try to debunk some stuff and find out what's actually happening here. Now, one of the many theories floating about was that Ray Gunn just wanted to have a laugh. She used her platform to get all eyes on her so she could make money by standing out for all the wrong reasons. You know, people were saying that she just wanted a free holiday and she was just improvising. Now, the more and more I look into this, I would say it's false. If she really wanted to make a joke, she could have just hopped around like a kangaroo for 3 minutes or something. But you can see some genuine athletic ability. I mean, everyone slagging her couldn't do what she done. So I do think there is a small amount of credibility to suggest that she might have got the wrong attention for doing this. And she's definitely set herself nicely up for chat shows, a tell-all book, a film, at least, maybe not a film, but a fringe run, at the very least. And people from the scene say that she's a respected member of the scene, but that the performance doesn't justify what Australia's all about. And, you know, unless the bad press has scared her off the jokes idea, then I think we should take her statement at face value. So let's just look at her statement here. In her first statement since Olympics, Gunn said she gave her all and was shattered by the backlash she'd received. I just want to start by thanking all the people who have supported me. I really appreciate the positivity and I was glad I was able to bring some joy into your lives. That's what I had hoped. So positivity, she wanted to bring joy. So she kind of knew it was a bit silly, it was a bit fun. And that's the thing, we're no slagging this. It was fun, it was a bit silly, it was a bit daft. You know, so yeah. While I went out there and had fun, I did take it very seriously. I worked my butt off preparing for the Olympics and I gave it my all, truly. I'm honoured to be part of the Australian Olympic team and to be part of Breakin's Olympic debut. Reagan was defeated in all three bouts, failing to secure a single vote from any of the judges. So, I don't think it was a joke. Maybe unprepared. I think we can say it's false. I don't think she went up there and went, I'm just going to bring shame on Australia. I'm going to make breaking a laughing stock at the Olympics. I don't think there's any evidence to suggest that. There was enough athletic ability that we say it wasn't meant to be a joke. If you want it to be a joke, there's other things you could have done. But what can it be? What if it's not a joke, what is it? Is it a protest? Well, the problem with the protest thing, I've seen lots of people saying it was a protest, but the problem with the protest is it's not clear what she's protesting. If it was a protest about the judges or the Olympic process or the fact that breaking should not be in the Olympics, and or maybe it was against the bombing of Palestine or something like that. If it was any of those, by now she would have used her platform to explain what the protest was all about. So, she also said her sick moves got her to the Olympics and she couldn't compete with the power moves, so she chose her creativity and she makes all her own moves. So she's not backing down. 0 points and zero backing down. So all credit to her. I mean, I'd kill for that level of confidence, man. I wish I had that confidence. And also, I'd just like to point out again, I can't do any of those sick moves. Apart from maybe the kangaroo and the sprinkler. I could probably give the sprinkler a bit of a go. So if it's not a protest, then is it an act of rich white privilege? Because surely Australia has better. Australia is a massive country. The Aussies love hip-hop. They definitely love rap music. So it's still not really adding up. But for this one, I think I'm going to go to an expert. Let's get Shelto O'Mell back into the conversation. What did you make of Reagan's performance?
Right, well, I'm going to say first and foremost that I'm not going to slag her because she shouldn't have been there, but the whole world is slagging her, right? But you need to check yourself. How does it make you feel good? Well, me personally, is it going to make me feel good? Like slating another woman? No. So I'm not going to slag her. She shouldn't have been there, but like, I'm going to say, like, I'm asking about the judges and stuff like that, because like, I've watched that footage where it was a qualifying battle, and the other B-girl was much better. She had power, she had musicality, and it questions, well, how did she get through? But then you talk about, like, money, cash rules everything around me, cream, get the money, always, because I'll bring this up, that I know someone who she was going to, she did the judging kind of exam and she had to pay £100 to do it, right? She did that and then they asked her 3 months later to do it again, but then she would have to go overseas to do it. Now, a lot of people don't have money. She said no and didn't do it. But like it's this thing like of hip hop was birthed from people who had nothing, you know, and it's another case of maybe who you know, like it's just like the WDSF, have I got that right? WDSF or SDF, sorry. They're like they were trying to get a here like ballroom dancing in it. Like now, why wasn't the hip hop OGs like? Why didn't we have? Why weren't they organising it? Why weren't they involved? Why weren't they judging? Because, like, to be honest, a lot of them, I was like, I don't know.
We're not going into like cyberbullying or anything like that. We're just trying to look at it from a point of view. Would you consider it breaking, or was it something else?
It had elements of breaking. There was like footwork, but there was not really, there was no really any power moves. Like, she kind of, a lot of her stuff was in the floor. And it was very, it was, I'm trying to be nice. It didn't have the energy and the oomph, really, or the musicality. Or the power, the energy from the other people. If you look at Ayumi, right? She is 40 years old, or 41. I couldn't believe it when I saw her age. And she was killing it. Like, and this is the thing, like, not just her, like, you had Nika, Amy, who won it. They were incredible, but they should be the ones that are going viral, but they're not.
I did see one famous breaking OG who's seen the positive side of it and was saying, at the end of the day, this viral moment has cast a light on it. So it could have been one of those things in the Olympics where nobody really sees it, especially because it was in Disney this year rather than normally you'll get them all on BBC. So his angle was that it's actually a positive, because now everyone's talking about breaking and people are maybe going, here, I would like to do that and maybe I could do it. if she can get the Olympics, then maybe I could one day get to the Olympics.
Maybe.
And that was the legendary Shel Tomele. And if you want to see the full interview with Shel Tomele, I'm going to put that up on the channel. Remember to like and subscribe to the channel, by the way. And we do the news, we do live music, we do live stream interviews, and we're also an audio podcast as well. It's all under the name You Call That Radio on the various social medias. I'll stick it all in the description anyway. So it was good to hear Shel Tomele's side of it. Check out the full interview. We're going to end with Chaz Bonner, who's a famous B-boy in Scotland. So we're going to finish on his view. Just a few final points I want to make. Was her husband a judge? The husband wasn't a judge, so we can say that was false. Is the media reaction just sexism? No, because if I jumped around like a kangaroo, I'd get slagged as well. The legacy is open for debate. So I think it just comes down to, there was a bit of rich privilege here. There was probably a lot of people who couldn't afford to do the qualifiers wherever they were. And I think there was an element of money and a bit of privilege involved to have the confidence and the ability to just go to the Paris Olympics and just have a wee mess about being creative. It actually sounds fun. And it's actually, you know, good on her. She had her fun. She's went to Olympics. She's probably going to make a lot of money off the back of it. But let's just hope it's not as a result of breaking being demeaned, because the skill that's involved in breaking, it's one of the key elements to the hip-hop scene alongside rapping, DJing and graffiti artists. So I hope that people from the outside don't look at that and go, oh, this is an example of the best of breaking, because it's definitely not. But good on Raygun. Good on Raygun. I applaud the confidence. And yeah, I just think that hopefully there is lots of people who have went, I've never heard of this before, and they go and check out. I'm sure people that do breaking classes are getting more and more people wanting to join. I hope that's the case anyway. But what do I know? Let's finish with an expert. It's Chaz Bonner. Let's hear his take on it all. This has been You Call That Radio. This is the news. And this is Chaz Bonner.
But I do just want to take a moment to address the Raygun situation, because I really do feel for her. She should not have had the abuse that she's had, right? There were direct qualifiers across the whole world. There were six of them. And she won the Oceania qualifier, right? Now, of course, this is what happens in the Olympics when you have this universality approach, when you are being fair in who gets to qualify, Now, Reagan did everything she needed to win. I believe she came out and said something about wanting to make an impact and just wanting to be as creative as she was able to. And this is what's happened, right? Now, were there other people that could have had that spot? Yes. However, looking at the universality of it, she made her way there. She definitely deserved it. And really, guys, you just have to look at this and say, you know, some dancers don't get the opportunity to be around world champions. Some dancers don't get the opportunity to see what it really means to be competing at the elite level. And there are even some people in some of the other battles that experience the exact same thing. So you just have to think, don't just think about that small minority. Think about what else you saw. And honestly, it was amazing. You call that radio? See?